You know those cravings that hit you out of nowhere? Charred steak tacos, silky mushroom risotto, or a perfect summer salad. When the craving hits, CookUnity delivers. Made with real ingredients and no shortcuts. CookUnity was made for adventurous eaters. With 160-plus award-winning chefs curating an ever-expanding menu of small batch meals. Get ready to eat meals delivered directly to your door, all tailored to your lifestyle, dietary needs, and cravings. Their roster of Food Network alums, James Beard Award winners, and acclaimed restaurateurs balance bold flavors and nutrition in their handcrafted meals, which are freshly prepared, delivered to your door, and never frozen. Get what you're craving. Try the freshest, best-tasting meal delivery made by your favorite celebrity chefs. Go to cookunity.com/crave or enter code CRAVE before checkout for free premium meals for life. That's free premium meals for life at cookunity.com/crave. You know those cravings that hit you out of nowhere? Charred steak tacos, silky mushroom risotto, or a perfect summer salad. When the craving hits, CookUnity delivers. Made with real ingredients and no shortcuts. Get ready to eat meals delivered directly to your door, all tailored to your lifestyle, dietary needs, and cravings. Get what you're craving. Go to cookunity.com/crave or enter CRAVE before checkout for free premium meals for life. That's cookunity.com/crave.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to That's Life Podcast. I'm your host, Abby Luckett, and life has a lot of highs, a lot of lows, and many in-betweens, but the thing that remains consistent is our God. So let's see what we talk about today.
In the mundane moments of life, it is important to realize the small and big joys that we have day to day that we go through. And today I'm going to tell you mine. Hello there. My name is Abby Luckett. And if you don't know, I am sick. If you can't hear to my voice, literally the sound of me speaking right now sounds like a chipmunk. So I do have a little bit of foggy brain. This is day 5 of being sick, which actually is kind of crazy because I'm not someone. Okay, actually, I don't want to say this and then come off like I'm not like most girls, but seriously, I mean this in a way of not sounding like, oh, I'm better than you, because I don't think that at all. But I'm just someone who like, oh, I don't even want to say it. Well, now I've hyped it up anyway, so I'm going to say it. I don't let myself get sick. Oh, that sounds so cringy, me saying that. Ugh, I hate that I just said that. Anyways, I did just say it. And you know what? I'm the one that edits this and I'm not going to edit out. I have in the past not let myself be sick, meaning when I'm sick, I just push through. That is a toxic trait that I'm trying to break. This is day 5 of not really doing much. Yesterday, I thought I was feeling so much better. My Oura ring still said that I had minor major symptoms, like stress in my body, but I felt great. So I just kind of jumped back into routine. I went on a run. I went to the gym. And I think I overdid it a little bit because last night I had the worst headache of my entire life. Literally, my ears felt like they were gonna explode off of my head. I felt like they were gonna pop off of my skull. And there was this extreme like pulsing. I don't know. So I woke up this morning with the intent of sleeping it off and feeling better. Yeah, my alarm went off bright and early and I said, absolutely not. You are taking another day because I have gone extremely downhill. Ryan and I leave tomorrow to go look at houses for Texas. I need to feel better. Stat ASAP pronto. But in this sickness, I've been thinking about the things that bring me joy because I'm someone who doesn't really like to be sick. There are some people, my husband, Ryan, who enjoys being sick. Not the feeling of the sickness, but the valid reason to sit around all day and do nothing because your body literally needs to rest. Like you have to recoup and recover. My husband absolutely loves a sick day. It just gives him a reason to sit and rest. He is really, really good at that. I'm really, really not. I get really deep into feeling gross and just not my best self. And I know I need the rest in order to feel better, but it's just hard to allow myself to do that because I thrive off of doing things. I love to do things. Stopping and pausing has been a challenge. It does make it easier when I literally can't do things. Like even if I tried to go out and go for a run right now or go for a walk or do whatever, I wouldn't be able to get through it. That is how bad the sickness is. I always like to tell myself sicknesses are just God's way of forcing me to be still. Is that toxic? Maybe. But I am really trying to honor giving myself rest right now. You can literally hear it in my voice. You could probably see it on my face if you're watching this. I'm looking a little bit ratchet. Yeah. Gross. Hi. The scratchiness in my voice is a telltale sign that I am low in my immune system. However, we are setting the vibes right because when I'm sick, I'm a little bit down in the dumps, it helps me remember the small things in life that I sometimes take for granted and the little joys that I really do love on a day-to-day basis. And so today's episode is going to be things that bring me joy. I have my handy dandy notebook here and I have a list of, I'm not going to count them, but it's definitely a double digit number of things that bring me joy in a day. I have two qualifications for these things that bring me joy. So the first qualification is that it has to be on a day-to-day basis. It can't be like a holiday or my birthday, because obviously those things are going to bring you joy. Well, sometimes they may not. I'm someone actually who kind of struggles on the holidays, but on the grand scheme of things, that's another podcast episode, but they bring joy. It has to be something that is quote unquote mundane or a little bit more normal. And then number two, just a small scale. So nothing too extravagant, like going to a concert, or this is specifically a list of small joys in life that are pretty average and normal on a day-to-day kind of thing. Before we get into it though, I'm going to show you my sick day girl vibes. So I think I've had like, oh my gosh, I'm about to out myself right now. I took a shower yesterday, but before that I went like 2 days without showering. I didn't leave the house. I was literally just sick, laying on the couch, rotting, okay? I didn't eat my best. I'm not gonna lie. I wasn't really eating the best. Nothing sounded good. My appetite was trash. The only thing that sounded good was pasta and cookies. So I ate pasta and cookies. But you know what? I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to get better. I have been making myself a coffee today because I've really been trying to prioritize being sick by getting work done. I don't like to sit still a lot, and so a lot of my job is editing. So I try to edit on the days that I run longer or have bigger workouts so that I can rest and recover, because I do like to get up and move around a lot. So I've really been trying to savor this time and edit my life away. But with that comes fatigue, because I'm also very tired. Not like sleepy tired, just like my body's tired. So I've been making myself coffees. If you're watching right now, this is my latte, my second latte of the day. I don't know if that's a good caffeine consumption amount. However, it makes me happy. Coffee for me is joy. If you go on my personal Instagram page, shameless plug, I talk about how much I love coffee and just how it reminds me of the Bible, how it reminds me of Jesus and certain ways like that. So you know what? I'm gonna make myself a latte, because spoiler alert, it's on the list, but it brings me joy. So this is the sound of my latte today. We've got crushed ice always. And then I posted a recipe on my personal Instagram page. This is my coffee cake latte. Let's give a little sip for the people. Ooh, I'm not gonna lie, I made it really strong. Ooh, I like my coffee really sweet, but I think it might be a little too sweet for me, which is kind of saying a lot. The sniffles are sniffling today. This is my right nostril. And this is my left nostril. That one's definitely more stuffed. And then I have this sweet little teddy bear that I'm holding. He's this like light tan color with a cute little plaid brown bow. This was a bear that Ryan gave me, or did I give him this bear? I literally can't remember. One of us gave each other this bear. What was this bear from? I don't know, but he's really cute and he's keeping me company while I do this podcast. So that's that. I also, it's a glasses wearing day, but I can't wear my glasses while I'm filming this podcast because you'll see the ring light, and I was too lazy to put contacts on my eyeballs. Anyways, this is beside the point. You literally don't care about this. I've been yapping for almost 10 minutes now, and I haven't even started on the main topic of this podcast. So, things that bring me joy, by yours truly, Abby Luckett. This is in no particular order. Okay, so we remember the qualifications. It just has to be on a small scale and day to day. Number one, dancing. I absolutely love dancing. For those of you that don't know, I have done musical theater from the age of 9 until the age of 21. I like to joke and say that I retired, but it's because, so I studied musical theater in college and in school, like high school and growing up in elementary school. I would go to acting classes. I took dance classes all my life. I was in voice lessons all my life. I would go to intensives and summer camps. I mean, I literally thought I was going to do this for the rest of my life, and not going to lie, I happened having a little bit of an itch to go back into the theater world. Okay. Don't really know what I'm going to do with that right now, but we're just going to kind of sit on it, pray on it, because my junior year of college, I just felt this extreme pull away from musical theater and away from the musical theater program. Very out of character. I mean, since I was 9, I knew I wanted to go pursue my dreams of being on a stage in on Broadway, doing musical theater, all the things. That's a whole nother plot line that I'm kind of having an identity crisis in, because I thought I was done and maybe I'm not. However, the part that I always loved most about expressing myself in musical theater was the fact that it was through the body. Acting will always be my favorite. I love acting. I would love to get into screen acting and stage acting one day, but I just don't really have the resources or the knowledge / tools to be able to get into that right now. Mostly being because I live in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and there's not really a lot of access to things like that if it's not online. And nowadays, auditions aren't really online anymore, which is fine. Like, whatever. I get to film content and post it online all the time. So my acting theater resources are being used for some. But expressing myself through the body has always been my favorite part of musical theater. And a lot of that has to do with dance. I have choreographed many a show. I love choreographing. I love dancing. But it's just so freeing to be in a room by myself and have my headphones on and just dance. Sometimes I'll choreograph a song. Sometimes I'll look up audition combos or dance combos and learn those and teach them to myself. Sometimes I'll just dance freely and just improv and do whatever I want to do. It brings me so much joy. I've never felt more in touch with my body than I do when I dance. And over the past year, I've lost sight of that a little bit as Ryan's career has been picking up, as my career has been picking up, and as we've gone through a wedding and planning and marriage and all these things, I really haven't danced in the last year, like really dedicated myself to dance. And so lately I've been kind of like, I don't know, what do I have that's fully mine that I don't record? I've kind of been, you know, dancing around, dancing, no pun intended, around the idea that I kind of film everything and post everything, and I need to set some boundaries in my life to where some things are just for me and some things I don't publicize and post online. And so Ryan and I have been talking about that concept a lot to help me assess some healthy boundaries just in my work life, and he suggested that I go dance. So yesterday I went and I danced. I taught myself a Rockette combo from the Radio City Music Rockettes Christmas Spectacular, and then I also found an old like Disney World dance audition combo, and I just put my headphones in, put the video up in the gym studio area. They have a mirror in there. And I learned those dance combos. And let me tell you, I was humbled, okay? I really thought it was going to be like riding a bicycle and I was going to just have all my flexibility and remember how to memorize choreography super quickly. Absolutely not. I was very, very humbled. It was hard and I picked it up. I mean, I've had a lot of years of training, so that's got to count for at least something, but it definitely did not come as easy to me as it used to. So it's kind of nice to have a new little goal for myself, and I think that's probably going to be my thing, is tapping back into my dancing roots and hopefully seeing if I can one day put that back up on a stage. I do miss theater. I don't know if I'm ready to make it my career or if that's what the Lord wants for me. Anyways, that was a side tangent, but dancing. All that to say, dancing is really, will always be close to my heart. The next thing, running. I feel like this is pretty self-explanatory. I love running. It's my ministry. It's my favorite thing to do ever in the world. I absolutely love running and I wish I could do it all the time, which is why sometimes I go overboard. If you want to hear more about that, the last episode, you can hear about it. But now that I'm in a healthy place with it again, it's reminding me how much I truly do love it, especially on like weeks like this week. I've been able to run once, which was yesterday, and I'm perfectly fine with that. It was a great run and I felt so free, but I'm also not beating myself up, making myself feel less than or worthless because I didn't get my run in. I'm literally sick. I need to rest. And so it's just nice to have running as a joy again, rather than this baseline or this bar that I have to hit every day in order to acquire worth. When you love something so much, it's easy to make it an idol. Running is no longer an idol for me anymore, so I can truly count it as a joy again, which is great. It is not above God. It is less than. And so therefore, it is a joy and I can use that to honor the Lord. I don't want to touch on that one too much because I feel like, again, people kind of know I like running, I would assume. The next thing, Bible reading. Oh my gosh, I don't think I've ever felt more joy than I do when I read my Bible. Now, this comes with an acquired combination of things, okay? So I was kind of thinking about this the other day. I made a comparison in my head of Bible reading to when Ryan is sick. Now, let me explain. When Ryan is sick, I don't like that he's sick, obviously, but I enjoy playing caretaker, playing nurse. You know, I want to like make him a meal and bring it to him in bed. I want to continue to check on him and show him that I'm there. I want to serve him. I don't want to say romanticize the sickness, but kind of like it is a time where he can't really do much. And so I get to step in and really take care of him. And that's just something that I love to do. I love to take care of him. And, you know, so if I need to sit by him for an hour and rub his head, like I'm so happy to do that. I'm someone who will make his meal look cute to add him, you know, a little more joy while he eats his food because he's not feeling well. It's just something that I like to do. I like to add bells and whistles to, you know, make him feel better and serve him. I can compare that to my Bible reading time because the actual gist of Bible reading, that is what brings the joy. But I have a recipe of things that get me excited to do it, just as less I can get excited to serve and take care of Ryan. Like when I have my colorful pens and my cup of coffee and I'm in a coffee shop, I get excited to read my Bible. As to where, you know, I may get the same revelations from just picking up my Bible in my bed in the morning and opening it up and reading it as I do when I'm in the coffee shop. It's almost as if like getting excited for that builds up so much more hype. And so I'm ready to invest into it more. And I'm setting this mood and this excitement to crack into the word and really get to know my God even more. So these cute little bells and whistles of colorful pens and, you know, calligraphy note taking and bubble letters at the top of my Bible notes page, like these are all bells and whistles, and these aren't the things that give me the revelation, obviously, but they add so much more joy to the Bible reading experience for me. And it really does change it, and it adds so much more to it. And there are these tools that we've been given and these, you know, fun little luxuries in life that we can use. It doesn't necessarily take away from the word. It adds to it and embellishes it. I don't want to say it adds to it. It doesn't add to the word. Like I can't add anything to the Bible. Like the Bible is the Bible, but it makes the experience very fruitful for me when I have those fun little things. I just enjoy it. The true joy comes from, again, the word and the Bible reading, but creating a fun experience and almost making it like a one-on-one date with God just makes it really fun. Like it's like if Ryan and I went on a date and I planned a picnic, you know, the date is the true meaning of why we're doing that. And us getting to know each other is the part that brings the joy. But it's just fun to get a picnic basket and make some food and bring it and go somewhere else, get out of your environment. Like it does just add to it and make it more of an experience. I love embellishing Bible reading and making it super, super fun. And again, it's never going to replace or mean more to me than just the word itself. Like the word is the word and the word is the joy. But, you know, making it a fun experience really adds a lot to me taking in all of the Bible reading experience. I hope that made sense. I kind of like twisted that around a lot, but I really want to make my point clear in that. Number four, painting. So when I was in engagement season and was really, really struggling, I talked to my therapist a lot about, I don't really know what my hobbies are. I don't really know like what my joys in life are. And she asked me, if you had a day where you didn't have to do anything and you didn't have anything planned, what would you do? And I looked at her and I was like, I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. That sparked something in me that was like, what did childhood Abby do when she was bored? Because obviously when we're children, we don't have adult plans. We don't have necessarily like schedules that we have to keep up with ourselves. We just kind of like do what we want when we're children. And when we're bored, we find something to do. So what did younger Abby do? Younger Abby did crafts. And so I tapped back into that within the last couple months. And I'm not by any means an artist or super, super skilled or a prodigy in these things, but I just love doing them. I love crafting. I love painting. I love a blank canvas. I love a paintbrush and just having my little colors on a little plate and painting. I turn on a little movie or some jazz music. I love jazz music. Sometimes I'll even get out my clay and make little figures. I used to do that stuff all the time when I was younger, and tapping back into that has helped heal my inner child and helped kind of remind me like there's so much more to life than work, achieving these fitness goals, because those are two things that I'm very driven and ambitious in. But crafting, painting, doing things that help me slow down, help me remember the true meaning of life, just help me slow down and gain some perspective and not be so narrow-minded. It really just helps slow down my system. So painting has been a really, really big joy of mine. Along the lines of that, baking. I love baking. I have always loved baking. I get it from my grandma. I know I get it from my grandma because she grew up. Hello, I grew up with her teaching me how to bake, how to cook, how to do these things. She taught me my favorite recipe of all time, chicken and dumplings. Absolutely love chicken dumplings. Okay. And from there, things just kind of like formulated to where when I bake, I think of my grandma, like I just always do. And for my wedding, she made my wedding cake with me. That was something that I really, really wanted to do, was make my wedding cake with my grandma. And we did. So the baking aspect for me is like a double whammy, because I just love baking. I love taste testing. I don't measure anything. I just kind of throw stuff into a bowl. It feels really freeing to be able to mix and make and trial and error and taste test and follow along in a journey of flavor combinations and cooking and doing all these things. That's super fun. And I love the process of it. And then obviously having a result is super fun. Another thing that I really enjoy about it is that it reminds me of my grandma. I absolutely love my grandma. I tell her all the time whenever I see her. She's my best friend. Like she truly is. She has impacted me so much in my life. And so that's something that reminds me of her and makes me feel so joyful. The next thing, watching movies phone free.
Okay, so watching movies, yes, fun, but specifically without a phone. I don't know if you're anything like me, but when I watch stuff, I get into a really bad habit of also scrolling. What? Where? When did we start doing this? Okay, when did watching a movie without a phone become an accomplishment? Like, that's how I know that I am so tech brain, have such a short attention span. Like, I need to work on some stuff, which I have now set new boundaries on my phone. Okay, so I'm doing that as well. Yeah, I got into a really, really bad habit of scrolling while I watch TV or scrolling while I watch a show. And Ryan would also do it too. And we would just kind of like be doing things and then have the movie or the show on as background, as to where we weren't really even invested in the plot. And it's like our brains are just so wired to have these quick dopamine hits. And quite frankly, I'm tired of being addicted to it. Like I am. I do have a phone addiction. I think a lot of us do on different scales, obviously. When I realized that I didn't want to watch a movie without scrolling on my phone, that's when I was like, oh, I have like a problem. So Ryan and I have been setting new time limits on our phones, putting our phones up at certain times of the night, and we've now been starting to watch movies at night. And it's been so fun. Like, even if we don't like the movie, we still are fully invested in it. We'll talk to each other about the movie. We'll talk to each other about what we think is going to happen, this, that, and the other. And it just adds so much more to the experience rather than just like, let's throw on a movie because that's the thing that we're going to do. It almost makes me feel like when we first started dating and we would watch movies because, you know, you're more nervous and you're not really like as comfortable with the person. And so you're just glued to the TV screen. That's kind of how it feels like now, but we're so comfortable with each other and we're invested in this plot and we're actually following along with the characters rather than just kind of like in and out. And maybe you don't relate to this. Maybe you actually have a healthy grasp on your social media intake. I did not, and that kind of made me aware of it. So it's just been super joyful to do a lot of things phone free, but specifically watch movies is just really fun. I don't know, I like it. All right, next thing, organizing. Hear me on this. Not like organizing clothes and like boring stuff like that. Okay, no. We're not talking about that. The organizing that I'm talking about is mood boards or making routines, making lists. I absolutely love going on my Google Docs, okay, and making a mood board or going on my Canva, organizing things with a cute little graphic or even just making a to-do list for my day upcoming, like the next day. Those are some of my all-time favorite things to do. I don't know what it is, but it just gets me going. Like, I feel so put together. I feel so joyful about the fact that I have something organized on paper, whether that's a grocery list or a packing list for an upcoming trip or ideas that I have in the future, business plans that I want to do. Like, I just love making lists and organizing my thoughts. I just think it's really fun. I like doing that. And it's something to do other than scroll as well. Like, it's a creative outlet. It's not just like a pen and paper list. Like, I mean, really going in and like color coding it and drawing pictures and using imagery. And it's just fun. I don't know. I love it. The next thing, writing. I have loved writing since I was born, honestly. I want to write a book one day. That's something I really want to do. I want to write an eating disorder Christian book. And one day I really do think I will. I have a Google Docs with the title book writing. I just haven't written anything on those pages yet, but it's there. Okay, people, it's there. But I love writing. I write a lot on my Substack. Link is in our link tree if you want to follow us on Substack. But I just love writing little journal entries. I had a poetry phase there for a little bit. Something about writing and journaling and note taking, it just brings me this sense of peace and calmness and joy and in touch with my thoughts and heart and mind, body, soul. Like, it just encompasses all of that onto a page. It really helps me get my thoughts out, especially when I'm really moody and having a bad body image day or having a really good day and I don't want to forget about the memories. Something about writing it pen to paper changes it for me. I absolutely love it. I love writing Ryan notes. I love writing notes in general. I just love writing. I think it's very grounding, especially because everything is so tech savvy and technology focused in today's world. Writing really helps you slow down and brings you back to earth. The next thing, intense karaoke. Emphasis on intense. So again, this is tying back to my theater girl roots. Okay, but there is nothing, and you're lying to me if you've never done this before. If you say you've never done this before, you're lying, okay? Calling you out, you're lying. Lying's a sin, so confess your sins. There is nothing like being home alone and hopping on your YouTube and looking up blah, blah, blah song karaoke or blah, 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 blah duet
karaoke and then having like the other person sing the other person in the duet and just blasting that in the house, and you are fully on a stage at this point. You are fully unaware of anything that's going on outside of your house because you are so locked into a story and a plot line. My favorite intense karaoke's are when I am in the car, I'm driving, I have a long car drive. Literally, kid you not, if I have like an hour plus car drive, this is what I'm doing. I'm getting a soundtrack to some Broadway musical. I'm starting from the beginning and I'm picking a character and I sing through every song in that plot line as that character. I mean, I'm fully experiencing that character arc of emotions. Every time, I'll do it. I'm telling you, there is something that is healing in doing that. Beauty and the Beast soundtrack, you know I'm about to be Belle and I'm about to start from first song and go all the way through, sing all of her, she gets captured, Be Our Guest, the whole thing to the very end. Beast is transformed. My favorite Broadway musical soundtrack is Waitress. I will be Jenna every time. Absolutely love Jenna. Sing through the whole thing. And I mean, like, voice cracks and all. Like, we're not using proper technique, people. But, like, the emotion is there. And, like, I'm in my car. Like, veins are popping out in my neck. Like, I am fully invested in that plot. When I'm home alone and I get the itch, I just pull out my little laptop, look up whatever song I want to. Girl on Fire, click. The Climb by Miley Cyrus, click. Like, I'm singing it and no one can tell me otherwise. And that's on period. Next, choreographing. You can tell a lot of my joys have to do with theater, which that may be telling me something. Maybe I should tap into that. I don't know. I've been a choreographer as a job before. I was a choreographer in high school and in college for both high school shows and college shows. And I discovered my true love for choreographing when I was in college. I choreographed a show at Belmont University, which is where I went to school, and I fell in love with it. Like, even more so than the actual performing itself. There's something about being behind the table on a creative team and using the body to tell a story, using the body and like the shapes that it can make as artwork. Your body to the stage is like paint on a canvas. It's just so incredible the ways that the body can tell a story that words can't. I absolutely love choreographing. So sometimes I'll just hear a song and I'll literally be like mid-set in the gym and a song will come on and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to choreograph right now. And I will literally leave and go into a little room and just start dancing, because there's something about when the creative juices just like click, you've got to follow it. And it's really nice to have that kind of passion and that kind of joy about something, because it gives you a sense of inspiration and a sense of motivation that being on a schedule just can't. Not that being on a schedule is bad, but having something that just lights a fire in you is so joyful to me. And being able to choreograph things, especially choreograph things that bring glory to God, is everything to me. I would love to choreograph a show again one day. It is one of my greatest joys in life, especially because then seeing what is in your brain then be put on a stage with bodies and seeing that vision come to life is insane, because for so long only I have ever known what this is supposed to look like in my head, and then you have people do it and execute it. So that's like phase one of seeing it actually with bodies and changing it and learning and molding it, but then having that be produced to the grand public when it's actually showtime is crazy. Every opening night of every show that I've ever choreographed, I literally have more butterflies than I do if I would be performing on that stage, because it's like for the first time people are seeing what only my brain came up with, what only I saw in my brain and how it was supposed to look for so long. And now like people are literally seeing this thing that I just birthed from my brain and it's being shown to the world now. That is so crazy. So crazy. But on the small scale of just the joys of life, I just love choreographing just to choreograph. Like even if the dance goes nowhere or the song goes nowhere and it just lives in my camera roll, I've like created something that's never been created before. And for me, that's everything. Next one, making coffees. I think this one's also a dead giveaway, but I didn't realize how much joy making coffees would bring me. I love creating coffee recipes. It's super fun. I get to enjoy the drink, but there's something about coffee that just brings me so much joy. I've talked about this before, but when I used to struggle with being consistent in reading my Bible, I would pair reading my Bible with drinking a coffee, because I would drink coffee every day. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm not allowed to have my coffee unless I'm reading my Bible. And so I would have coffee with my Bible. So now that I'm in a good place with Bible reading, coffee drinking reminds me of Jesus, because I just like paired those two together and habit stacked them. So there's something cozy about that, but also just making coffee is such a slow process if you know, really invest in it. I mean, obviously there's your seven brews and your Dutch bros of the world, which there's a time and place for to-go coffee as well. But now that we have this coffee bar in our house and I'm fully investing in making coffee and learning about the roasting process, and I have a lot more to learn, but it's just so fun. Like it is such an intense, in-depth, slow process and experience, and then actually drinking it is also like a slow process and just savoring that drink. I'm someone who likes to have that drink in my hand all day. It's just so restful, and rest is joy. And it's so crazy how a little drink, a little beverage can have so much meaning. It just brings me a lot of joy. And on the line of that, the next thing that brings me joy is giving people things, i.e. coffees or baked goods or crafts or things. All of these things that bring me joy that I make, like the coffees or baking or whatever, painting or whatever. I also love to give those things away. Like, giving things to people is so fun. I will never forget when my friends came over and we first like finished having our coffee bar set up. I offered to make them protein coffees, and I made like 4 of my friends protein coffees, and giving them those coffees brought me so much joy. I don't know what it is. Like, we have to open a coffee shop at some point in our lives, because giving people coffee, I'm just so passionate about giving people coffee. I don't know. It's such a specific like niche of things that I love to do, but it brings me so much joy. I absolutely love doing it. The next thing, going to a coffee shop. So as you can tell, I really love coffee, okay? But something about going to a coffee shop just lights my fire. I have never felt more motivated than I do whenever I'm in a coffee shop. I also think being around people makes me feel more motivated and on task. I've always been someone who, if I'm around people, I'm gonna stay more on task than if I'm by myself. I'll go on my phone, I'll do things around the house, I'll just get sidetracked. But when I'm around people, I am like zoned in. And something about going to a coffee shop, it just makes me feel like I'm in my own little world in the big world. Like, there's so much going on at a coffee shop. Everyone has their own stories. It's just so much fun to be there around the hustle and bustle and feel so calm while there's also like the chaos around the world going on, if that makes sense. Especially when I'm reading my Bible. Like, when I'm reading my Bible at a coffee shop, it is so peaceful to just be there still alone by myself or with someone else, having so much go on around you, or going to a coffee shop with friends. Like, I love having conversations at a coffee table. There's just so much joy at a coffee shop. I really want to open a coffee shop at some point in my life. All right, I have a couple more. The next thing is people watching. You will always catch me people watching. A lot of times I'll people watch during a conversation. Like, there will be a lot of times where I'm having a conversation with someone and my eyes will just start wandering because I have to see what other people are doing. I absolutely love people watching. It's my favorite thing ever. And I have no shame in doing it. When we went to Disney World a couple of weekends ago, I mean, I would stare people down, and not even in a like trying to be judgmental. I just find other people so curious. There's something about humans that is so interesting to me. I absolutely love watching people breathe. Like, it's so weird. I love people watching. I think it's super fun, especially if you're at the beach and you have sunglasses. Oh my gosh, y'all, when I was a lifeguard, I mean, obviously I did my job. I was trying to protect the kids and keep them safe. The people watching was so much fun. I absolutely loved being a lifeguard, because how many times am I going to say absolutely in the span of one podcast? My goodness, calling myself out. Sorry. I would watch people. I mean, that's literally the job, but I would specifically people watch all day. It was so great, which again, I guess is technically the job, but it was just so much fun for the sake of people watching. I could go to Times Square and not have a plan in the world and just sit there on the bleachers in the middle of Times Square in New York City and people watch and be fine. I love going to a mall and sitting there and people watching. I love waiting in lines because I get to people watch. It's just so interesting. Oh, something else that just popped into my head that also brings me joy, this is a very current one, is there's a trend going around on TikTok right now where it's the song, I don't know the name of the song, but it's a worship song, and the line is, the enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said, you're mine. The enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said, you're mine. That's like the verse in the song, and people are posting videos of their dogs like acting bad and then their dog being good. So like, the enemy thought he had me, it would be a clip of your dog like chewing up the couch, and then, but Jesus said, you're mine, it's like a picture of a dog reading a Bible. I don't know, those videos are so funny to me right now, just because it's like dogs, like, I don't know, it's just funny. That was a side one. Okay, I have a couple more. I'm getting a little redundant. I actually have 2 more. Walking, specifically in the fall, specifically in the morning. Now that the air is getting cooler, I'm really gonna miss it when we move to Texas, because I've heard there's not fall there, and fall is my favorite season, tier. But the crisp morning air here in Bowling Green, Kentucky, it's about 50 to 55 degrees from like, I don't know, when I wake up, which is like 5 a.m. to 9-ish a.m. Going on walks with that crisp morning air, y'all, it's everything to me. It's everything to me. I can't wait until I can go on a midday walk with a coffee in my hand and it's like cool. Like, there's a cool breeze. Fall is my favorite season, and going on walks in the fall is my favorite activity, especially when the leaves have fallen and it crunches.
I'm so excited. Okay, wrapping up, wearing a huge oversized outfit. This is pretty much me every day. There's very rarely going to be an occasion where you don't see me in an oversized outfit. I just feel so much more comfortable. I've talked about this a little bit before, but I have sensory issues. Like, I don't like the way certain things feel on me, especially tight clothing. I've always been that way. I probably always will be that way. When I am in oversized clothing, I feel most myself. I feel most confident. I feel happy, joyful. I just love wearing oversized things. Not much to elaborate on it. It just brings me joy. I love it, especially when it's a matching set. That is the best. I feel like cute girl, gym rat girl, comfy girl, cozy girl put together all in one. I don't know. Like a matching loungewear set is like, oh, she put effort into her outfit because it's matching and it's like put together because it's cute. But then you're also oversized and like cozy vibes with like some nice little white socks and some Uggs, some Ugg moccasins. Yes. Yes, please. That is exactly what the doctor ordered. And that is my list of things that bring me joy. There are probably a lot more. That is the list that I've compiled and curated for you today. I want to know what some of your favorite joys in life are, the things that bring you so much joy just in the mundane. And I encourage you to write them down too, because this is a pretty long list and it's actually putting a lot into perspective for me of how much joy I actually do have in my life, just in these little things that we may not really even put too much thought into in our day-to-day life. Now, before I close out this podcast, I am going to end you with my high and low, because we do that every week. High of the week, low of the week. Obviously, my low of the week is being sick. This has truly taken me out. I am down for the count. And after this podcast, I'm probably going to just go lay around. I'm stuffed. My ears are clogged. My head is pounding. But you know what? We persevere. What I will say, though, is the high of my week has been the rest that it's brought me. I think we'll always have an ongoing battle of a relationship with allowing myself to have rest. Rest is God-honoring. Rest is good. And this is a point in my life where I'm really realizing how far I've come in my recovery journey, because this rest isn't triggering and this rest isn't driving me crazy, and I'm actually giving myself the chance and the opportunity to rest. So it's been encouraging in that way, and also my body just needs rest, and so it's been nice and kind of still a little bit challenging, but overall I would count that as a high. So with that being said, let me know your joys of your days, your day-to-day life. And maybe you can give me some more ideas to add to my list of things that bring me joy, because I'm always looking to do little joyful things. I think it's super fun. Thank you guys so much for watching. I love you so much. I'm gonna go nap and take care of myself, probably blow my nose, use the bathroom, maybe finish this coffee. It's really strong. It's really strong. So maybe not. I love you guys. Jesus loves you. And that's life.